It's showtime, folks. Welcome in. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Wednesday. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. The speaker, Connor Newt, is with us as well as he is all week. JoJo, what's up?
Hey, man, it's a great day. It's a beautiful day. We're getting one step closer to football season, which is fantastic. And I messed up. I need to call him Mr. Speaker, because when they have a problem in the House of Representatives, they don't say, hey, Speaker. They say, Mr. Speaker, can I get a couple of minutes? So when we get an argument on the show and he's here, we'll have to say, Mr. Speaker. And then when I'm done talking, I'm going to say, I'll give the rest of my time to Mr. Chase McCabe in Bellevue. And
we'll you know what, Joe? You call me whatever you want.
Okay. Mr. Speaker is what it is.
All right.
Fantastic.
Mr. Speaker.
Chase right here. How was your birthday, pal?
It was a good time. I got to give a shout out to my friend Phil. He runs Music Bingo at Brewhouse West, and he decided in honor of my birthday to make it all wrestling themed. So,
okay,
I was the only one happy about that, but it was still awesome.
Were you the only one there? Please tell me.
No, okay, no, it was a packed house, and like when he announced that, everybody's like, "What?" And so they're all just like looking at me, like, "Okay, help me with this." And I don't know if it's a good thing or a sad thing that I knew every one of them like within the first 2 seconds.
Wow, so. That's no man. Don't apologize for your passion, brother.
I would have ran good. You out the building. Just saying.
I don't know about that.
Oh, okay.
I've been around for a long time, and a lot of these were the older ones.
I know the older ones.
Okay.
Yeah. How dare, Mr. Speaker?
Yeah,
I apologize.
Come on, man.
I apologize for that.
He's scared to be here. That's why.
That he needs to be 2 feet away from the throne at all times. So that's why.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Are you?
None of that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. None of that. So.
Okay. Good.
I'm just slept in a little bit, and woke up and go. Okay. I guess we're gonna do the show from home today.
Yeah. That's it. Well done. Glad you survived, man.
It was good.
So let me ask you this. So I don't need to be refreshing Scoop Nashville every 2 minutes. We're good.
No.
All right.
Behave myself. Stay in one place.
Proud of you,
it was
buddy.
Good to have everybody there. So I know you were tied up. You had a speaking engagement, so you couldn't be there. But
which will lead into our question of the day here in a few moments, which I'm very excited about.
Okay, we'll get to that in a second.
Yep.
First, so I guess I can say this. I got a text from our good buddy Sean Henry, wishing me happy birthday, and he goes, "Your present's coming in about 30 minutes," and I was like, what could this be?
What's her name?
Are they making a move? Yeah, are they making a big move? Or, you know, what is there an announcement? And then I was delighted to see the announcement that David Poyle, longtime general manager, and the former captain Shea Weber were being inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. I think that is fantastic. Shea Weber is the first draft pick of the Predators to go in the Hockey Hall of Fame. And obviously, you know, David Poyle, in my mind, it was a no-brainer. You know, Shea, I was a little surprised by simply because I unfortunately, I believe his career got cut short. And I definitely think he had a, you know, a Hall of Fame resume that he was building. But, you know, he played in a cup final, didn't win a Stanley Cup, didn't win a Norris Trophy. But I do think it's deserved because he is definitely a Hall of Fame caliber player. Unfortunately, his career just got cut short. But David Poyle, you know, we always said that he deserved every accolade he was going to get, and this was the highest one. So congrats to them.
Wait, is this, I missed all this. Is this, are they eligible for the Hall of Fame, or they have to go the nomination process?
They're in.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, good for them. Well done.
I think this is one of those things where you should just pretend. Like, oh yeah,
no, I'm not
that.
Gonna lie. I'm not gonna say a lie. I didn't see. I mean, I was busy yesterday, so I didn't see all that. So I apologize. So,
yep.
I wish I had it on tape somewhere. I had a great interview one time with Shea Weber. We first got to town when I was at Channel 2. We did a thing. We had like 10-minute interview with him, and I had him to explain me the forecheck and a back check, and I couldn't comprehend it, and we couldn't stop laughing. And it was fantastic. And I saw a side of Shea Weber that not many people got to see at the beginning. And he was great, man. And I'm like, and we just laughed and laughed and laughed. And so well done for him, man. I mean, just what he brought to this franchise and, you know, with the 8,000-mile-per-hour slap shot that he had. I mean, he's a guy that really help put the Nashville Predators on the map. So well done for Shea Weber, man. Plus, also, you know this, don't ever ask him about fantasy baseball because he won't shut up. So just remember that.
Or his dogs.
Or his dogs.
Yep.
Yep. I got in a fantasy baseball question with one time, and he was in a league, if I remember this correctly, Shea Weber with Geddy Lee from Rush.
Yes.
He was in a fantasy and so it would, we were fascinated by this, and it was a great conversation with him. And I'm like, hey, well, anyway, I look at my watch. Hey, Shea, I got to go, man. And another question, another answer, but that was really cool with him.
I know some people that have played fantasy baseball with him. He's relentless. Like,
good.
He's one of, it's like him on the ice, like, but he's one of those people that, you know, he's a competitor. He's got to win.
Right.
But, no, that was the funny thing about Shea. I'll never forget. So, you know, I had been covering the team for not super long, but I had gotten, everybody knew who I was at this point. I'd gotten to know Shea a little bit, and it was Barry Trotz's first game back when he was coaching the Capitals. And so this would have been 2015,
correct,
I guess.
Yes.
So I, you know, in morning skate, we're all gathered around, Shea's speaking, and I just said, I was like, Shea, you know, you look at this game, and at the time, I mean, they were in a playoff push, so they needed points, and it's like, obviously that's on the line, but is there a little something extra tonight with Barry coming back? And he just kind of looks at me and goes, why would there be something extra? And I'm just like, in my head, I'm like, damn it, Shea. just answer the question. Because that's just like, didn't mean to be that way. There was just times where it was just like, he just would go stone-faced and give you very short answers because he was just locked in. That's just how he was. But like you said, you bring up fantasy baseball, or you bring up his dogs, you bring up anything other than hockey, and he would talk your head off.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, I mean, he was
like, afterwards, I was like, really, dude, you couldn't give me any? And he goes, I'm sorry. I didn't know what to say. And it's like, he goes, but hey, look at this picture I got. And I'm like, dude, I don't care.
Oh, that's so great. Well deserved, man.
And then, you know, that was kind of always like our thing we joked about. And then there was a time that I had gone to Dallas to visit family. And while I was there, the Predators were in town playing the Stars. So I decided I would go over to the arena and go, you know, cover the game and go to the game and all that stuff. And so I walk in to morning skate in Dallas. And he looks at me and goes, wait, did I miss something? Do you live here now? And I was like, you know, people travel, right? And he just started laughing. And he goes, yeah, I guess that's true. It is around the holidays, so maybe you're doing that. And I'm like, so I explained it. But it was just nice. That he had that sense of humor. And then every time he would come back, whether it was me or Robbie or Darren or anybody that he had been around, Willie, he would always make a point to, you know, if he ran into us, to walk over, shake our hand, ask how we were doing, say hi. Just could not be any nicer. So, I mean, he's a Hall of Fame person, but now he's a Hockey Hall of Famer too. So very, very cool.
That's cool, the fact that, you know, he only played in what, one Stanley Cup final, is that correct?
Yes, because remember, he was traded the year before and left here. Went right to Montreal, and then
they had some great run from Montreal, right?
When they made it might have been the bubble. I can't remember. I think it was the bubble year that they went to the Cup final. I'd have to go back and look.
But I know he made one, just one only.
Yeah,
right?
He did, and that's when he got hurt. So,
yep.
His last game was a Stanley Cup final game, if I'm not mistaken.
So this is not Poyle got inducted. I covered that. He got inducted to the American Hockey Hall of Fame?
That was the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame.
And so this is the NHL?
This is it's called the Hockey Hall of Fame. It's the one in Toronto. It's where they keep the cup.
Okay.
So it's like everything in the history of hockey, he's now a part of.
Perfect. Well done, buddy.
So, yeah.
Congrats.
And Nashville Super Speedway just announced Luke Combs as the honorary pace car driver.
Oh,
for the
nice.
LA 400. And our buddy Joseph Newgarden's going to be a dignitary there. So looking forward to seeing him.
That's this Sunday, right?
It sure is.
Yeah, well done.
We'll be there Friday.
We will be there Friday. And tomorrow at the Omni, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, making our way around.
Making our way around town. That's what we do. All right, what's our question of the day, JoJo?
All right, so our question of the day, and we love all the interaction from our great listeners. So our question today is, tomorrow I have the honor of speaking at the Lebanon Rotary Club. It's going to be a big packed house, a lot of fun. You know, we get to do this about five or six times a month. We'll go out and speak to Kiwanis clubs, Rotary clubs, companies, whatever, and always honored to do that. My question today, and I'll start with you, Chase McCabe, then Mr. Speaker's next. If I came to you and said, Chase, you have to speak to this group right now. You have to speak for 10 minutes. You have no notes. You have to speak for 10 minutes on something you know in and out. What would you go speak about? And you can't say, You have 10 minutes, no notes. What could you speak in front of 100 people about with saying without saying, 50 times? All right. What is the one thing you can go?
So anything.
And it's not your family.
Okay.
Cannot be your family. Can be anything. 10 minutes that you have to stand for all these people and talk with no notes, no PowerPoints, nothing. What could you do? And it's sports. Not. It doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
It'd be great if it'd be sports. That's fine. But what could you do for 10 minutes?
I could speak about getting into radio and, like, you know, my journey and all that.
Okay.
I could do that.
10 minutes.
Yep.
No us. Mr. Yeah. Speaker?
Oh.
You just said
And my answer doesn't count.
10 minutes. Not family. What could you speak about in front of 100 people with no notes?
Mine's not a fun one, but.
Doesn't matter.
I could do it. I think I could talk about, you know, struggling with anxiety and stuff like that.
Okay.
And how to get over that.
And not repeating yourself.
And not repeating yourself.
Okay. Well done. I could go, good for you, Connor. I could go 10 minutes on why Miami Vice is the most impactful TV show of all time. 10 minutes. I could do that without
a doubt. I love how Chase and I have these meaningful lectures and then you talk about
Miami Vice. I mean, look.
There's no wrong answer.
To him, Miami Vice is pretty meaningful.
That is pretty meaningful.
Yeah, it is. But I could also talk about why 90210 is also an amazing TV show. I could go on and on. I mean, on things like that. But 10 minutes, I mean, so it's got to be something that you just – and, it, you know, what's great about this, you think, like, I could do this, but then you start thinking, God, all right, that's 30 seconds, and then that's 15. All right, that's maybe almost a minute. And then it's just on and on and on. So, but
and
sports,
after that,
like, yeah.
The audience would just go nuts.
Yes, you got the board today. Like – I could do Heisman Trophy winners and what they've done since 1980. I mean, there's things that you know well, mostly by osmosis, you could figure out. I could do Tennessee Vols football since the mid-80s. I could talk about. So what could you talk about for 10 minutes with zero problem?
That's our question of the day, 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonKennyHyundai.com. Of course, we got John McClain coming up at the bottom of the hour, so we look forward to talking to him. And also, there's a big event out at the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway that we'll tell you about throughout the show. We're up and running here on a Wednesday. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Wednesday, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership. For the buzz is always about great service. And, of course, our question of the day is, what could you speak about for 10 minutes with no notes, no preparation, without saying, our text line has blown up, driven by WilsonKennyHyundai.com.
Love it.
Let's see. We'll get a few answers in, and then I got something I want to bring up with you. I got a bone to pick with somebody. 5573 says Tennessee walking horses.
I love
it. I would know nothing about that, but that's awesome.
Yeah, heck yeah, it is.
That's why you're presenting.
0247, 10 minutes of examples of how people are idiots.
You can't include yourself, though.
Yeah. Marlon from Murfreesboro, only 10 minutes, pro wrestling or American history.
That's my guy.
Jeremy in Mount Juliet says, I could talk about coins for 10 minutes.
Oh, that'd be fun. That wouldn't be. I'd be fascinating. Mr. Speaker, quit rolling your eyes. That'd be fascinating.
Wes in Clarksville says, Chase could talk about Dale Jr. That's probably true. Or the Earnhardt family in general. Lenny said, I could talk about golf course management, strategy, and swing.
Love it. Love that.
That'd be good. Robert in Nashville, 10 minutes talking about my fear of public speaking.
Yes, that's great.
Tom in Nashville would talk about why The Wire is the best TV show of all time or why Jaws is a groundbreaking movie.
Yes, good.
Caleb and Mount Juliet. I could go on for hours about everything. I do that. Irritates my wife, and she tells me, and all she tells me is I do wrong. I could also go on about my life, life in addiction and recovery. Thankful to have 8 years clean now, and want everyone to know if I can do it, so can they.
Amen, shout brother. Caleb. Well done, Caleb.
Joey from Bellevue. I could talk about soccer. I lived in Germany for 6 years, so soccer is a big part of my life. Be good. Steven from Hendersonville. Miami Vice can't be the most impactful show when it's not even Don Johnson's best show.
Get out.
Clearly
of here.
Nash Bridges is better.
Get out of here. Miami Vice is the best character-driven TV show of all time. I could speak for an hour on that.
Joel says McCabe should, that's me, should have said the downfall of WCW. That's pretty big right now. I got to watch the latest episode.
I do too.
You go 10 minutes on that.
Oh, yeah. 5353 says Jared could talk about how the Titans still don't have a right tackle.
Yes!
1580 says dirt track or go-kart racing.
Love it. Interesting. That'd be great. All of these are good. Thank you.
Yeah. 4206 said I could bore people to death talking about taxes.
I'd listen. If you're going to do 10 minutes unprepared, no notes, I'd listen to that.
So there you go. Keep them coming. Our question of the day, something you could talk about for 10 minutes without saying, very, very good question today there, JoJo.
Well done, buddy.
All right. There's something that you and I wanted to get into. So obviously UT won the national championship, and they beat Texas A&M. So I hope I'm saying his name right. Jim Schlossnagel.
Sure.
Of Texas A&M. He's the head coach. He's now the head coach at Texas. And what's interesting, and everybody kind of, you know, I think Vitello's name was mentioned briefly, but nobody really thought he was going to take that. And so Texas A&M's coach is mentioned a lot, and people thought he was going to take it, and he ends up taking it. But this was him the night, and I get, you just lost the national championship, but still, he doesn't make himself look very good with this answer and then the result.
Coach, with respect to the difficult outcome tonight, but with the rumors circulating today about a specific job opening, what do you have to say about your future in Aggieland?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty selfish of you to ask me that question, to be honest with you. But I left my family to be the coach at Texas A&M. I took the job at Texas A&M to never take another job again, and that hasn't changed in my mind. And that's unfair to talk about something like that. That'd be like you asking Montgomery if he's going to sign in the draft. But I understand you got to ask the question. But I gave up a big part of my life to come take this job, and I've poured every ounce of my soul in this job, and I've given this job every single ounce I can possibly give it. So write that.
All right. So here's my thing. I get it. You don't want to answer that question right after your team just lost. You knew the question was coming. You probably already knew the answer to the question
right
before it came. And so my thing is, why don't you not be an ass about it?
Ooh,
and just say, look, we just lost the national championship game. I'm focused on that right now, and be done. Because quite frankly, everybody in that room expected that answer. But you had to start by being confrontational and going, I find it, what'd he say? What'd he say? He was like offended that or whatever. He was not happy that the question
how
got
dare
asked.
You.
Right. And then he's like, write that. It's like, and then less than 24 hours later, you take the job that he's asking you about. So, you know, Jim Schnoschnagel or whatever your name is. Like, yeah. Just, you know.
Here's my thing. You ready?
Yeah.
He doesn't owe an explanation to only people he owes explanation to are his players. He doesn't owe you anything. He doesn't owe me anything. He doesn't owe that fan base nothing. Whatever he wants to do, let him do it. Just respect the kids. That's all I'm asking. He can take any job he wants and leave at any time. Good for him. He owes us nothing. He owes the kids an explanation, and that's it. Let me tell you what, Chase. When he's taking that press conference Monday night, yes or no, has he already – in kind of a handshake way, accepted that Texas job?
Probably.
Exactly. Like, it didn't come Tuesday morning like, hey, you know, I think I'll be the kid. He'd already got it. So you owe the kids an explanation. You don't owe us anything. You take any job you want. I got no problem with you leaving in the middle of the night. I got no problem. All I got a problem with, talk to the kids.
Well, I agree. And he could have said that. Or he could, again, he could have deflected it, not answered the question, and just kept it moving. But, you know, he does this storm. He storms off and all this stuff. I agree he owes the kids. But, you know, you said the fan base. I disagree. I actually think the fan base does deserve a little bit of an explanation because, you know, in a roundabout way, they pay his salary. I mean, you know, they support that team. The boosters support that team. You know, he gives this passionate speech about how, you know, how much he wanted that job. And then, you know, basically the next day he's like, yeah, just kidding. I wanted this job more, though.
Right.
So,
no,
you know,
I
screw
no,
you.
That's
so,
fine.
It's just my whole problem is just the attitude he had. Had he answered that question differently, whatever. We're having a different conversation right now. But the fact that he was a Richard about it. That, you know, that's what he was, then that's why I got a problem with it.
Okay.
Because he could have done it without all the sass.
We're going to disagree. He owes the fan base nothing. He owes you and I nothing. He owes those kids an explanation to say I'm goodbye. Look, had it been a pro team, I don't care. I mean, professional athletes, you don't owe them anything. If out of respect and out of the goodness of your heart, you could tell the team, hey, I'm leaving, I'm going on, that's great. But if you don't, I don't care. But these college kids who went to college because of you, you owe them an explanation. Everybody else, I don't care. You don't owe anybody else anything in the world. Just those kids. Take any job you want, I don't care. And then you move on and you go. It's just, it's weird from that press conference Monday night knowing what we know now, they probably already had the job. What if that had gotten out a week ago? You know, I mean, does A&M play completely different? I mean, what if that came out in the regional? Your coach is going, I'm sorry, it would have some sort of impact on your team. It would have. But he owed it to the kids to say, I'm leaving. I don't know if he did or not. I haven't read that part yet. But overall, I got no problem. When Nick Saban left Miami, I had no problem with that. He lied. That's on you, Nick Saban. You live with that. You know, not us. You can go and do whatever you want.
We did get a text earlier. Let's see if I can find it real quick because I want to give credit where credit is due. Hang on. Stand by. Here we go. Okay. We had a text from somebody, and I'm trying to give you credit, but there's so many I can't find it.
Sorry.
That said a question of the day. You know, it was could be, you know, about that, but the best coach lie of all time.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That was a tweet to us. It was a tweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, they've all lied. I mean, Saban lied, Petrino lied. I mean, they've all lied on and on and on. So, no, it's just that's the way it goes and the way it happened. The Saban at Miami was great because, like, Schlossnagel, whatever his name is, went after, like, the media. How dare you? And then 2 days later, he's in Tuscaloosa. There's a soundbite from a radio guy in Miami who said, I'm going to fight Nick Saban one day because he lied to us. And it's on the NFL films, too, that the greatest coaches who've left or the greatest debacles, whatever. And he goes after Saban on that, too, as well. Look, man, go. If you don't want to be here, go. Just go. I don't care. But tell the team something before you go. That's all I ask.
Al said, I would talk 10 minutes about the many ways to use Richard in a sentence and not offend the Richards listening.
That's pretty good if you could do that. Yeah.
My dad's name is Richard.
But he's not a Richard.
No.
Right? I don't think so.
Yeah.
No.
Some people might.
Mr. Speaker comes from good stock, so we're good.
Indeed. Indeed he does. We will get to John McClain coming up next, our buddy from Houston, talk the NFL. We'll ask him about this. He's down there in Texas. I'm sure this has been a hot topic of conversation.
Oh, he's a Baylor fan. He'll love this.
Oh, he'll love this. We'll do that coming up next. It's Chase and Big Joe here on this Wednesday, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Hello. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. Hey, tune in to 102.5 The Game this Sunday for coverage of the Ally 400 at Nashville Super Speedway. Our coverage presented by Green Trees, and we'll begin at 1:30. the race starting at 2:30. Green Trees Company is a family-owned cannabis company and dispensary located in Hendersonville and a new location in West Nashville. Available online at greentreeswithaz.com. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We say hello now to our man John McClain from Houston. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. John, good morning. How are you?
Guys, I'm doing great, and I hope you are too. I've been in this business now 51 years, and I've been a fan of college baseball, but not like I started in when they started the postseason. Some of my good friends are Aggies. Once they beat the Longhorns, then I started watching all the games, and I like UT, just your UT, just because it's Tennessee, and I like most things in Tennessee, especially Nashville. But and I've got so many friends up there who are UT alums. So this, I have seen very few controversies that with the venom that's going on right now with Jim Schlossnagel leaving A&M the day after they lost to go to Texas. And it obviously this deal was done ahead of time. They can lie all they want, but it was. And now they're saying it could have been a long time ago because Chris Del Conte, the athletic director at Texas, he used to be at Houston and TCU. He was at TCU when Schlossnagel was there. And I don't have a problem with guys going from one job to the next. Sources say that he's going to get like $3.5 million a year for 10 years. I can't imagine that's true, but the Longhorns have more. Only person with more money than the Longhorns is God. You guys can find that out in the SEC, the way they use their money to try to control everything. And they usually get their way. And they're like that 800-pound gorilla that's anywhere it wants. So Schlossnagel, the problem I had was the way he treated a reporter, yep. Richard Zane from TexAgs.com, who had to ask the question about the Longhorns. Now, he didn't specifically say Texas. He asked him about his job at Aggieland and all the reports, and it was all over the state that the Longhorns were coming after him. And so he berated that reporter and then stormed off. And then we found out last night in a new column that was written is that he confronted the reporter afterward and told him he'd never speak to him again. And so the way he handled it, I thought, was just awful. And because I don't have a dog in a hunt, I wish Baylor could get involved in things this intense. So I've been killing Schlossnagel. But it's a great deal for the Longhorns. He's also bringing along his great pitching coach, Max Weiner, and his recruiting coordinator, who's done a terrific job, and his hitting coach. And probably he's going to have players follow him from A&M to Austin because they'll line up NIL money. One of the things Texas made a big deal out of when they brought in their football recruits, they got off the luxury bus, and they had to walk a gauntlet of Lamborghinis. So I said they probably threw in a couple of Lamborghinis, and he'd been probably driving a Bronco in College Station. So it is ugly, ugly, ugly. He was about to get another raise, $85 million for a new stadium or a refurbished Bluebell Park. But you talk about the rivalry that goes back a century, has been intensified. Everybody's fired up about when they play in football in November. I'm fired up for the first time the Longhorns go to College Station to play baseball, and the greeting that Jim Schlossnagel will get and for the way he handled it. And as I've tweeted, and you guys know this, the way he should have handled it, he should have said, guys, look, we just lost the national championship. Yep. This is about my players, our fans, Texas A&M, the great job the Volunteers did in winning the championship. There's a time and place for questions like that. I'll address them later, but this is not the time or place. I hope you understand. I'm happy to answer any baseball questions because he knew it was coming, but he just totally, and I lost a lot of respect for him. Anyway, it's been incredible. Congratulations to the Vols. You know, I think that stuff Greg McElroy said was one of the dumbest things I've ever heard about Patello. I thought everything was great. I watched the post game, and I'm really excited. I've been doing a show with John Wilkerson in Knoxville for 20 years. They, John and I hooked up in 90, let's see, whenever the Tennessee Oilers played in Canton, I can't remember if it was their first year up there or what, I met John, he introduced himself, we started talking. Then later, he listened to me on radio in Nashville and asked me if I wanted to do a show, and he's been a play-by-play there for like 37 years. Used to work with Mike Key, so now I'm fired up for John Wilkerson and everybody associated with that program.
Yeah, it's obviously been a great celebration here. And, you know, so that's where I wanted to start with you was this whole thing with A&M and Texas. But you mentioned it. You've been in this business a long time. You've been lied to. I've heard Floyd tell stories of how he's lied to you about certain things. That comes with the territory. Can you remember, though, you know, one of the best lies you've ever been told, and you knew it, like you knew that this was going to come out, that this was going to be a lie, you know, by somebody in your career?
Let's see. When Floyd Reese, as the general manager, was going to hire Chip Fisher full-time, I knew it was coming, and I knew how much he liked him. Jeff was going to be hired after he'd taken over. They never gave him the interim title, but it's kind of what he was. And Floyd interviewed other people just to appease. To appease the fans and media. And every time Floyd was asked about it, you know, he denied stuff that was being, like I was writing, that Jeff was going to be named the head coach. And the biggest lie of a coach that I can remember was Nick Saban when he was in Miami, and he got tired of everybody writing and broadcasting about Alabama because he thought it was the season and because it would distract the Dolphins, and he just lied through his teeth. Now, if you win a bunch of national championships, that's going to take precedence. And Schlossnagel didn't come out and say, no, I'm not going, because he didn't give anybody a chance to ask a second question before he got up and stormed off after his long answer that ended with write that. But he intimated, you know, saying nothing had ever changed. He went there to win a national championship and stay there. Nothing has changed in his mind. So people are saying to defend it. Well, he never denied it. Well, he wouldn't ask that specific question if he was going to Austin. So if he didn't come out and directly lie, but he misled, and it was deceit. And the bad thing about that whole deal, A&M's playing Tennessee for the championship on Monday night. Longhorns leaking during the day. Now that David Pierce had been fired immediately, it's like a tornado that sweeps across the state. It's now Schlossnagel could have told Chris Del Conte the AD, look, don't do anything with Pierce till after the World Series, and he could have done that. But I'll guarantee you, it was leaked to try to screw with the Aggies, because those two schools have hated each other forever. And I'm so glad they're back in the SEC together, and because it's going to be like this a lot. Great for the state of Texas. SEC won't care about the rivalry unless it has something to do with the playoff conference championship game. But I think that it was all calculated. And as one person wrote, for him to be part of what happened, like not asking Del Conte, make sure don't fire Pierce till after the World Series, then he was complicit in all this. And so that makes it even better. And I've been lied to by coaches. Coaches have to lie. I have a problem when they do the way he did, and he berates a reporter, and he should have handled it the way I told him and done it like I said. Because that is coach speak 101 and GM's 101. And Floyd was hilarious. Bob Phillips used to lie to us, and his response would be, I lied, have a Budweiser. And so how could you be mad at a guy like that? But they have to lie, and some are better at it than others. Gary Kubiak, when he was coaching the Texans, said, if I don't get back to you about something, it's because I don't want to lie. so I knew that it would be true, but I still wouldn't go with something that without confirmation. But there's kind of an art form about it to do it, and not to build up bad blood where every move you make gets criticized by media, which leads to fans' criticism. You got to handle it the right way. And the way Bum Phillips did it, always had Budweiser in his refrigerator, and he'd come in and he's like, guys, I know I said this yesterday, but I had to lie. Now I have a Budweiser, you know, then you move on.
Oh, that's awesome. We'll have more with John McClain from Houston coming up next here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Wednesday, continuing our conversation with John McClain from Houston. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. JoJo?
John, Jacksonville and Carolina have passed huge referendums to improve the stadiums. Kansas City did not. What does that tell us?
Well, it tells you it should never put it to a public vote. The public's never going to approve a stadium. Now, the easiest I have ever seen anyone get a stadium was the Titans. I can't remember any acrimony in this new stadium. And usually, and one of the reasons, now, did I miss a lot of acrimony and a lot of negativity with fans and media and business people and politicians? If it was there, then I don't remember it. And I think that has to do with the popularity of Amy Adams Trump. Anything that they needed public money here when the Oilers were here, it was all about Bud Adams. And Bud was incredibly unpopular at that point. But with Amy being as popular as she is, that helped her. And there was nobody, there's no venom, no voters coming out. Oh, no, I don't want us to do anything for Amy Adams Trump. And here all the politicians were scared they'd be voted out of office if they did anything that looked like they were helping Bud Adams make more money. Where up there, her popularity and respect helped them get that new stadium. And they're ahead of those other two, of course. Buffalo's haven't had – I can't remember. Did Buffalo take a public vote? I don't think so. Kansas City did. Now what will happen is the Kansas City, Missouri – politicians and business leaders will do like they did in the other states. They will get together and find a way to come up with the money to keep the Chiefs from moving across the border.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy about that. I will say, though, that the now mayor of Nashville, Freddie O'Connell, as a councilman before he was elected mayor, was adamantly against the stadium, and a lot of people were on his side about that. But, you know, once they start breaking ground and talk about Final Fours and Super Bowls coming here, everybody gets on the same page, so it really goes for naught on this. John, is there any chance you think Kansas City moves to Kansas if they don't get this win? This looks bad for the team against the city?
Well, I'm the wrong one to ask because I thought there's no way the Oilers would leave Houston. And then when they were leaving, I thought they were the Frank Spanchen franchise was going to L.A. So everything I wrote and said at the time was wrong. But I'll say Clark Hunt is a respected owner, and they need to find a way to get everybody together. And I think that Missouri will keep them. I don't think they will let them get away and go to Kansas.
We're talking to John McClain from Houston. And kind of continuing this discussion, he brought up Jacksonville. I think for a while we all thought that Jacksonville was going to end up in London, didn't we? And now they're going to do this new stadium. I mean, is this a different mindset by Shad Khan? Is this Tony Khan influencing his father or knowing that they need to stay in the States and stay in Jacksonville? What do you think the shift in thought was?
Well, there's not going to be a franchise in London for a long time. And when there is, they say they need to have two franchises there like they have in L.A., and so I'm guessing Tony Khan, the son, is very involved in everything. His dad is the boss, but his dad, I'm sure, was influenced by him and some others. And the fact that it was easy to do, you know, they built a big, they spent a lot of money on a portable practice facility out in the parking lot. and that cost a few million dollars. So they've been very good about doing that. The key now, you know, you say $1.4 billion. By the time that thing's done, it'll be $2.5 or $3 billion. The number they put out initially when it's approved is going to be chicken feed, what it's going to cost eventually. I remember in L.A. when they started saying, well, it'll be a little more than Jerry World. Jerry World was $1.2 billion, probably be about $2 billion, ended up being $5 billion. And I don't know what all they have planned, if they have a combination of commercial and private, anything around it, entertainment. Usually owners want that now. And I like where the Jaguar Stadium is. It's, the access is great for everybody to get in and out. But I'm happy for them, and I'm happy for the fans because, you know, it's going to be weird. Are they going to play in Gainesville? Are they going to play in Orlando? Are they going to play in both of those stadiums? Will they play more games?
Haven't they looked at Daytona, like Daytona International Speedway?
Yeah, I can't imagine the NFL would do that, because when you move and play, you've got to have your facility up to NFL standards. And that speedway, I can't imagine it would be. Plus, it looked like a – what is that seat? Is that seat 100,000?
Well, they reduced it. I think it's like 60 now.
Well, if they did that, then it wouldn't look like a ghost town like most speedways would. But I don't see that, because they had to spend a lot of money to get it to where the NFL would approve it, as well as the NFLPA.
So now that looking at the division, Jacksonville is going to get a $1.4 billion stadium. The Titans are building a new stadium. Obviously, Houston and Indy are still fairly new, but are we going to see some renovations at some point? Because you know that things are ever-changing, technology is ever-changing. What do you think the future is there?
Well, they need renovations. The stadium here was completed in 2001. They started playing in it in 2002. You know, your stadium was moved into in 1999. I was there for that first game. It's amazing today. The one that always blew me away was Turner Field. And when they built Truist Park in the ritzy suburb, which has been incredible for the Braves, because we saw the numbers that they made when they won the World Series over the Astros, and how they got that with Turner Field being right downtown and not relatively new, but not needing a new stadium. And of course, they want all the bells and whistles, include as many suites as you can get. And a lot of teams today, Patriots being prominent one, build things around the stadium for entertainment, and they get most of that money all year round. It's like the Red Sox were the first I remember. They bought up everything around Fenway Park, built things. Most of they pay taxes, of course, and I don't know if they pay rent or not, but they make a fortune from the area right around the stadium. And that's what you want. You want to bring in as much income as possible, like they did, and Stan Kroenke has done with the Rams in SoFi Stadium. So in Houston, they're going to need renovations. Those suites, while nice at the time, they pale in comparison to the suites most teams have with newer stadiums.
John, great stuff as always. We appreciate it. We will talk to you next week.
Guys, thank you very much, and congrats to all the Tennessee alums out there who are celebrating that national championship.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Yes, and Tennessee fans are celebrating for sure. Coming up next, there's a big event coming up. Obviously, NASCAR is coming to our city at the Nashville Super Speedway, but there's a pretty cool event Thursday night at the fairgrounds. We'll tell you about that coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.